Following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
Yeah, I'm really proud of them. In our little pregame huddle, I kind of just was like, we've prepped all year for this moment, and I believe in each and every single one of you. We've put in the work, and now it's time for us to go out and shine and just do what we do. They were all really excited to play, and you know, we wanted to force what we did, so I'm proud of them.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Go! Go! Well, there's no mirrors around here, but nevertheless, I will take a look at myself in the mirror. And speaking of guys that make no sense. All right, glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. You can, of course, say Alexa, enable Fox Sports Aberdeen, and that'll get you going there as well. Hub City Radio app, 605 Radio app, or, of course, if you are kind of old school like me, you'll do twofold. You'll listen on your good old-fashioned FM radio dial, or AM for that matter, or if you have a desktop computer. Do people still have desktop computers? I don't even know. But if you've got a laptop, you can open up hubcityradio.com. And, of course, you'll see the Fox Sports Aberdeen listen link. You click on the little headphones, and bingo, bango, there you have it, my friend. You can listen to us right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Loaded show for you here on this Tuesday. We've got Jason Haskell, head coach of the Aberdeen Roncalli Boys Tennis Squad. He'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program, live in studio. Friend of the program, nice to have him in studio as always. And then towards the bottom of the hour, we'll have your Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly. That's coming up towards the bottom half of the show as well. So a lot of things to look forward to on tap here today. As, if you can believe it, as soon as the high school sports season ends, on the winter side of things, of course, on Saturday, it's pretty much you get one sleep, maybe two, and then hello high school athletics as well for the spring side of things. If you can believe it, yesterday we had some high school track and field action with the Fuller invite at Northern State, Aberdeen Central, Ipswich, Milbank, Warner, Webster area, some of the local and regional squads there of note that partook in that event, and also more track and field action here today as the Northern State invite is taking place with Aberdeen Central, Christian and Roncalli, Frederick, Groton, GPL, Harriet Selby, Iroquois Lake Preston, Leola, Miller, Mopo, and Webster area. So we're fast and furious. I mean, we just basically go right from the winter straight to spring as Matt McClure joins us here live in studio. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Isn't that crazy? You move immediately from the winter sports season right into spring with some track and field.
Yeah, basketball season ended over the weekend, and I heard that on the sports update. Yeah, well, track and field here today. Here, let's take a look at some results. I'm like, are you kidding me already? How the heck did that happen?
I know. Basically popped up overnight, felt like, and I bet for some of those student athletes it felt like overnight, and had some very familiar names there in the mix, so would encourage you to check out our website, hubcityradio.com, and check that out there at your leisure. Also of note on the side of things of college, got some college news and notes. You've got Dort. They are making the opportunity, the trek to go back-to-back to the NAIA National Tournament Championship. They downed Bethel there yesterday, and it really doesn't feel like it's that long ago, but we had Coach Hermanson on the program. Harmson, I had it right the first time. We had Coach Harmson on the program here. It was like right when we first got the brand new phone lines. Remember that? And that was right after they won the national championship. they're going back. They're going right back to the national championship. That'll be later on here tonight as they'll take on Indiana Wesleyan. It was this close to an all-G-PAC national championship there on the women's side of things. Briarcliff lost last night 70-69. So we were so close to an all-G-PAC national championship for the women's side.
That would have been pretty fun, huh?
Would have been fantastic. I'd have been all in on that. So kind of interesting how that all kind of shook out. But we'll get to all of that and much more here today on the Sports Hub on FSA. David Tewksbury joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
As we get to the jump here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. And once again, we'll be joined live in studio with Coach Haskell in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. And then again, towards the bottom of the hour, your Wings Weekly. So we're not quite at the end of college basketball season on the D2 side of things, but we're getting closer and closer with the national championship coming up in about a week and a half or so. I think it's even less than that, actually. But on the guys' side, we have access to the transfer portal. On the women's side of things, we do not. I'm in a group chat, and we're looking, how do we find all these student-athletes that are in the transfer portal? On the women's side of things, it's not easy. And it's not easily accessible. I don't think we have access to it as media members, but for the men's side, we are. And I looked at it yesterday. Matt, we've got 750 guys already in the D2 transfer portal. Any guesses out there on how many of them have already found a new home? You're thinking maybe 50, 100, 200, 99, 7. I mean, what's your guess? How many guys do you think out of that 750, as of March 25th, how many guys do you think have already found a new home for the D2 transfer portal? Any guesses?
I'm going to say 70.
70? Good guess, but you're way off. 10. 10 guys. 10 guys have found a new home, and obviously this is way, way, way early, and I guarantee you there's going to be a lot more than just 10 guys that are going to find a new home by the time they lace them up again for next year. But 10 out of 750, that's 0.013% of players that have found a new home. Now, I don't want to say guarantee, but I feel pretty comfortable and confident in saying you're probably going to get north of 1,000 players before it's all said and done in the transfer portal. I'm curious, what do you think the percentage is of guys that will find a new home out of that probably 1,000 or more? I'm going to go ahead and guess maybe 28, 29%, 30 maybe.
I think 30% is a good benching mark for that. Definitely under 50%, definitely under 40. I think you're looking at anywhere from 25 to 30%, I'd say.
Yeah, so it's kind of that 'tis the season, once again, with the transfer portal. And again, it's incredibly early, but 0.013% of the guys finding a new home. Hey, speaking of the transfer portal, we've got a couple guys right here in the state that have familiar names. Memphis has been involved with South Dakota State transfer Oscar Clough. He's a guy, of course, from South Dakota State there, the Jackrabbits. He had entered a do not contact tag as he entered the transfer portal on the D1 side of things. So be curious to see what that looks like for the one-time Jackrabbit.
What's a do not contact tag?
It's basically like you go into the transfer portal, and rather of all these coaches reaching out to you, you say, don't contact me. I've already got basically something lined up.
Oh, okay.
So that sort of thing. And also, I think you even saw this guy play in the not too distant past, more accurately, Sioux Falls native JT Rock from Sioux Falls Lincoln. Did you see him play at Sioux Falls Lincoln or no?
I don't think I saw him, no.
Okay, well, he, of course, from Iowa State, or not from Iowa State, but he's with the Cyclones there. They just got bounced from the tournament there, so Sioux Falls Lincoln product. He's 7'1". I would imagine there's probably going to be some people calling his name, I would guess, huh?
Yeah, somebody's going to be calling a 7-footer. Hey, you want to be a part of our program very shortly, I bet.
Yeah, so he's already in the transfer portal there, too. And this is something that popped up on my feed yesterday. This makes me happy because I'm a friend of him. At least I'd like to think so anyway. He's a friend of mine for sure. Big shout out goes to Dennis Hutter. Who is Dennis Hutter? That name may not sound familiar to you, but we've had him on these airwaves before. He was the former head coach for Mayville State University. Last year, he went up to UND. He was the associate head coach for a year. And now, he is the new head coach for UND. So, in a short amount of time, You go from NAIA in the North Star and Mayville State. Of course, the North Star is going to be a defunct conference. And now he goes all the way up to Grand Forks to a D1 head coach. So it can happen pretty fast for you. And just a big shout out to Dennis Hutter there.
Yeah, big shout out to him. You said he was there prior too?
For about a year.
Yeah, a year. So went back, then came back to Mayville and went back there. So, you know, you build those relationships like that. You know how coaching...
No. He was at Mayville, uh-huh. And then he went up to UND for 1 year, uh-huh. And he's been on the sideline.
Oh, so he's been at UND.
Yeah, he was the associate head coach this last year.
Oh, okay, yeah, so he just got promoted.
Yeah.
Yeah, big shout-out to him. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense now.
Pretty
wouldn't make sense to go back down and then go back up. That wouldn't make much sense. But, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Big shout-out to him. I mean, that's kind of how you got to start, right? You got to start small in the coaching world. You just got to get your foot in the door. I feel like, and I got no experience, but just from looking at the outside.
Hey, easy now. You're 1-1 as a head coach.
Hey, appreciate that. But, yeah, you got to get your foot in the door. That's kind of where you see, just like when you watch these, like, football lives, like, on the NFL Network, and just, like, coaches, they get their foot in the door. Next thing you know, you just build your way up, and you can get to that position at one point in time if you kind of have that right recipe.
Think about a guy like Nick Saban, who was the defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick with the Cleveland Browns back in the early 90s. A lot of people forget that.
Yeah.
And you're talking about probably the best coaches ever in terms of the NFL and college football. And they were both on the same staff in the early 90s in the land of Cleve.
Well, that's where my head went too, Tukes. Like, that's exactly where I went. I was like, yeah, I think Saban and Bill Belichick coached together for the Browns in the early 90s. So, yeah, it can happen. You just got to get your foot in the door.
Got to get your foot in the door. Absolutely. Hey, speaking of coaches that have been there for a long, long time, Tom Izzo, of course, he's been with Michigan State for a lot of years. I think in one of your 94 brackets, you've got them winning the whole thing, right?
Yep.
Maybe it's 74 brackets?
Mm-hmm.
Just three. No, I'm teasing. But Tom Izzo, get this, back in the day, in the year 2000, he coached Jason Richardson, great NBA star, Golden State Warriors. I think he won a dunk contest.
Yeah, slam dunk champion.
Back in the day, yeah, I think off the backboard, through the legs,
mm-hmm.
So good. 25 years later, here in 2025, Tom Izzo is now coaching his son. Pretty crazy. 2000, he was coaching him. 25 years later, he's now coaching his son, and they're in the Sweet 16.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's a good one there. You see that now. I guess I'm just getting older now. That's the bottom line.
Just you wait.
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick Surtain, I remember when his dad was playing for the Dolphins, great cornerback, and now I see this guy, Patrick Surtain II, like Peja Stojakovic's son is playing.
Wow.
So you've got...
Is it Donovan McNabb's son playing?
Yeah, I think so.
It's crazy.
It is wild, man. It is very, very crazy how some of these athletes that we grew up with as kids, feels like you blink your eye and the next thing you know, their sons and daughters are the next breed, the next wave. So kind of crazy how that all shakes out for sure. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school tennis. Jason Haskell, he'll be joining us live in studio after a quick break. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. And you can also check out the video with basically just our audio on it. You're not missing much. I mean, you're looking at couple of radio guys, you know, dudes with faces for radio. But I will say, we do have Jason Haskell here in the studio, and he's got the Stormy Cromer hat on. Good to see you again.
Well, I just do the Stormy Cromer hat to hide the face because I don't got a face for video either. So,
a couple dudes with faces for radio.
That's
we can dig it. Where did the name Stormy Cromer even come from? I was thinking about that last night as soon as I reached out to you. I was like, I wonder if he's going to bring the Stormy Cromer hat on.
Yeah, I got it. I always got it. Stormy Cromer is an actual person. He invented the hat. He was a railroad guy. And his hat kept blowing off, so he designed a hat that was a little sleeker and had these little ear flaps that could keep his ears warm when he was driving down the road. So that's the history of the Stormy Cromer.
The Stormy Cromer. The
Wisconsin.
Yep. Yeah. We're in Wisconsin.
Or no, upper Michigan.
Okay.
UP.
UP? Okay, yep. Gotcha. My brother lives in the UP nowadays. He says they get over 200 inches of snowfall a year. That's the average in Lawrence, Michigan.
That's why I live in South Dakota, so we don't get that.
I know. No kidding. We've had a pretty mild winter, to be honest with you. And when that's the case, do you guys get an opportunity to kind of get out and about and practice a little bit or not so much?
It's been really cold up until recently. So even one of our practices, I think when we played with the State Bees in town, we practiced it early so kids could go attend the basketball games. But I think it was 32 degrees when we started, and the wind was right there. So, I mean, you can dress up for that, but it's hard to hold a racket with gloves on, and your hands get chilly. So, but I'm not going to complain at all. You know, you were talking about how seasons shift from one to another. Our shifts usually include shovels for the first couple practices. That's kind of our conditioning, is you grab a shovel and move snow, and we haven't had to do that, so I feel blessed.
Yeah, it is a big win. So kind of what's practice been like then for you guys a little bit here?
Most of my kids are involved in other sports, so we don't get too crazy with conditioning. We try to get them in tennis shape, but I'm trying to figure out where my kids are at. I got a whole new group of kids. I graduated 4 seniors, so I got a bunch of people coming in. We're doing a lot of matches to just try and get information and see where people are landing at this point.
So it's the information gathering session, and the sexy word in broadcasting and sports alike is analytics. Are analytics big in tennis or not so much at all?
They might be.
Yeah.
They're not in my world.
Sure.
My analytics are through my eyeballs. You know,
yeah.
I just kind of watch them. And there's a lot that goes into figuring out where your kids are at, especially when you start looking at doubles play, who's going to jive with who. Less of an issue. Well, maybe not. It's an issue with both boys and girls. But you definitely want those people to be able to connect and kind of communicate without having to talk. And the only way you can really see that is have them play matches. So I don't have like a big old computer board that sits there and like says, this person first serve, second serve, yada, yada, yada. The eye test is where I'm at with my tennis team.
Can you talk a little bit about the term tennis shape, what you're looking for from your kids, you know, to be in that kind of shape? I know it's a lot of side-to-side movement, but can you just kind of unpack that term a little bit?
Well, we do a lot of I do a thing called tennis Tabata. It's a lot of different movements for a short period of time, but really fast. So you're working on explosive movements. And then also just getting that heart rate up a little bit, doing some sprints. And then every once in a while, we'll kind of plug in a more of a base, like a longer run, something to just kind of hit all of the segments. But definitely that side to side, those lower leg muscles, shin area, when you're shifting, going back and forth, forward and back, it can be an issue.
Because tennis, it's a lot of start and stop.
Yeah, absolutely. The nice thing about tennis, unlike baseball has a lot of start and stop, but a lot of stop.
Yeah.
Tennis is, you're constantly going. It's just shifting back and forth. So your muscles are always loose. You're not worried about hamstrings unless it's super cold and you just haven't warmed up properly. But once you're going, it's usually not an issue.
Jason Haskell joining us here in studio. Tennis what? What did you call that?
Tabata.
Tennis Tabata. Can you spell that?
T-A-B-A-T-A. I'm not exactly sure.
Did you make up that term?
No. I'm not even exactly sure what the acronym stands for, but it's basically like 30 seconds of movement, 10 seconds of rest. 30 seconds of movement, 10 seconds of rest. And you just move through some different, what we do, like rock movers, burpees, squats, all kinds of stuff, and just work through that like a circuit.
That sounds like a lot of like high intensity interval type stuff.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Hit to use a.
Yeah, hit. There you go.
Tabata, hit. We're hitting all the terminology this morning.
I was going to say, I left my, what's that thing called? The stationary bike that everybody was into like 5
Peloton?
Years ago.
Peloton?
Yeah, I left the Peloton at home. So they got like the hit classes and all those sorts of things.
There's
a reason why I'm behind the mic and not doing something active.
Yep.
Lord knows. I did a class at the Y, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And it was like one of those really high intensity deals, but for low, low weight. And my wife used to work at the Y, and I came down at halftime. She goes, what are you doing down here? I'm like, oh, I quit. So I'm like, I can't handle this. This is rough. This is rough stuff.
Yep.
But like you mentioned, you got a lot of new players, a lot of new student athletes, 4 players. I want to say transfer. So talking about the transfer portal, 4 guys graduated last year. What's the new squad kind of looking like here for 25?
Like I said, I'm still kind of gathering information. We graduated our 1, 2, 4, and 5 spots. So more than likely, I mean, 3's jumping to 1. My 6 is jumping to 2. And then after that, it's kind of like I'm not exactly sure yet. We're just going to have kids play and see where it's at. You know, Gannon was my number three. Gannon May was my number three. He's jumping to number one. And then Ezra Feikert played at six, and he'll jump up to number two. Will Haskell was in there last year, and he's going to bump up to three or four. And then Ben is another kid that was with the program last year on our varsity. Or I think he was either seven or eight, and he'll be jumping up into a varsity role today too, or this year also.
Gotcha. So do you run into guys maybe being a little rusty to start the year at all? I know you're saying guys playing different sports and things of that. So how do you kind of deal with that early in the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's kind of it's a fine motor skill sport, hand-eye coordination. And one of the best ways to do that is just play games, hit balls, and start moving again. So we try not to get too crazy and focus on mechanics because a lot of these kids have been in the program for a while. We just get out and play matches, hit balls. We had one day where the weather was really bad. I moved my varsity kids inside, and we got on a ball machine and just hit a ton of balls. So part of it is just dialing in that hand-eye coordination, seeing the ball again, and getting that movement.
You're going to have to help me out with this next one because I remember we talked about this, I think, either last year or 2 years ago. Even talked about it with the Aberdeen Central's coaches. You've got your lineup, and it has to basically be set in stone by a certain time. How long does that kind of process work out for you? Because like you say, you're just basically gathering information, who's going to go where. What's that kind of process like for you?
There's not really a specific date. I could switch them up on the last day. But going into that state tournament, if my player doesn't have a certain number of matches played, he doesn't get a seeding. So then going into state, he would just drop to the bottom of the seed. So you'd like to get them ideally, because the boys' season, even more so than the girls' season, is just a flash in a pan. I mean, we barely start playing matches, and then we end up looking at the state tournament. So ideally, within that first week or two, you'd like to have a pretty solid idea of where stuff is landing, because you got to get those matches in. But you've got a little bit of window. If things aren't looking right, you can switch somebody out. I can't remember if it's six or seven or however many matches you have to have played at that position in order to get a seating at that position. So
that sounds like you got a couple things set in stone there with your one and things of that. So how do the other spots kind of come to fruition? Is the guys trying out for those spots? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. And I've always told my kids, a big word in tennis is challenge match. And can this kid beat this kid? And on any given day in tennis, such a mental sport, a lot of things can happen. So I try to not use the word challenge. I just like to let them know that these matches are giving me information. I call them like an informational match. I'm just watching you play. I'm watching this guy play. In doubles, I'm watching how players play together. So it's not necessarily, yep, this person beats this person all the time. And there's also, as your players go into here, you figure out what's best for the team at each spot. And you try to maximize the team's ability, and then you just try to run with it.
So with doubles, then, how do you kind of figure out who's playing with who there? Is it kind of like you're saying, just seeing how guys play with each other? Do people be like, hey, do some of your kids be like, hey, I work better with this? I mean, how does that all work?
It's a little bit of a back and forth. You know, as a coach, I have the final say, but and I live with the consequences of what I decided I'm going to run with, So I like to get their input because just forcing kids to play together when they really don't want to be together is usually not a good recipe for success. So I like to get a feel for what my kids are thinking, where they're at, and then watch them play on the court and make a decision based on that information.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like hockey lines to a certain degree.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
You know, the chemistry in a hockey line, like you're changing lines and trying to figure out who works with who, right?
Exactly. You might have one kid that can cross over lines. He can run on three lines and be okay. And you have one kid that there's only one line he works good with. So, and then you run with that.
For sure.
It's kind of like Phil's like, I can't really stand Kevin. Please don't put me on the same team again. I really don't want to have him as my doubles partner. Coach Haskell here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Maybe a couple more before we get you out of here. You're going out west to Rapid City. What's your, not necessarily expectations, but what are your goals for this this first one coming up this week?
I'm still in that information mode, and that's where we're at this week. We're going to play some tough teams. We got a couple teams that we should be competitive with, and might mix up a couple things just so I can get a good base on my information, and that's what this weekend is all about. Get out there, get outside, play tennis, see what they're doing, and then hopefully by the middle or end of next week, we'll have a pretty solid team set.
Kind of a skeleton on who you guys are going to be and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Do you pay much attention to the rest of, you know, a tennis to figure out, hey, these are the contenders, these are the teams that I should kind of keep an eye out, or you guys just so focused on yourself?
We're pretty self-focused. Every once in a while, you know, I mean, you've got the Rapid City schools and the Sioux Falls schools. They always trickle to the top, and then there's a group of us that are below that, and then there's another group that kind of lands down at the bottom. There's a lot of unknowns about our team this year. We're really young. So I kind of set an expectation of where I think we should land in those kind of three segments of teams. And then we just make adjustments and keep plugging away, mostly focused on ourselves.
In an odd way, that's got to be kind of fun, doesn't it? Because, I mean, as a sports fan, let's just say I'm a big Seahawks fan. Whenever the Seahawks have high expectations and they don't meet them, I'm so angry at the season. When you have no expectations or little expectations and you're just surprised, wow, man, so-and-so played really well this year. That's almost got to be very rewarding as a head coach, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. On the other side of that, when you have expectations and you can meet them, that feels really good also.
Right.
But this is a different year for us, and we do have expectations, but they're you know, where I think we should be as a team. And a real main focus, and I've put it on the kids this year, is to have fun. We've got so many new things that I just want to make sure we're focusing on having fun playing tennis. For me, first and foremost, I want this to be a sport that the kids want to keep playing when they're done with high school and they're not just, or college or whatever it is, way into life. Grab a racket. What are we going to do today? Grab a racket. Let's go play, because I love playing the game of tennis. So keep it fun. I know that there's some sports that it's just a grind, and you end up having to be so focused in your one sport to stay in it that you just grind and grind and grind, and you get to high school and you think you got a chance to play college and you don't play college and you never pick up a basketball again because you just like, I'm done with this. And I don't want tennis to ever turn into that for any of my kids. I want it to be something that's fun. They grab their racket, they enjoy it every time they do it.
It's a great mindset to have. It's kind of like me in golf, but, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, don't go golf on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't know. Golf is, I need to get, see, I said this before, I'm not good enough where I should be as mad as I am whenever I screw up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I got to get me some good throwing clubs.
Well, it's funny, coming into this morning, I was driving by Moxon Creek, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I should probably get a membership. I need to learn how to play golf. And then it left my brain.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I love that sport, but that's just like tennis. It's a forever sport. You can play it when you're 14. You can play it when you're 64.
Exactly. And right now, you just like me, we're in a time of life where kids, life, busy, and it's hard. Golf is a very technical sport too, a lot like tennis. And if you don't have time to work on that technique, you throw a lot of clubs.
Yeah. Lord knows I've been.
Or rackets.
Yeah. Or break rackets for sure.
Yeah, rackets are a little cheaper than clubs.
Yeah. You got that straight. All right, Coach. We'll let you go. Thanks again for popping in studio here. Good luck out west.
All right. You bet. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Head Coach Jason Haskell joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll come on back and wrap up things quick. Plus, a Wings Weekly is also around the corner. Sports humming it up on a Tuesday. We've got Clayton Randall of Northern State joining us tomorrow. And also, ironically enough, of Aberdeen Ron Colley. We saw that on X this morning, right?
Yeah, coaching OL and DL. Getting in the mud, in the trenches.
I was going to say, trenches guy.
Yeah.
Clayton Randall. Yeah, he'll be joining us tomorrow talking a little Wolves on the Water. We'll probably pepper him with some Ron Colley questions there, too. We've got your Wings Weekly coming up here in just a few short moments. Again, check out our website, hubcityradio.com. All LRC teams have been announced with kiddos from Christian, Falkton, Ipswich, Langford, Leola Frederick, Northwestern, Warner. So check out our website there. NCAA D2 Elite 8. The squad that we've kind of got our eyes on is actually two of them, as a matter of fact. Two of them have been opponents of Northern State this year, Pittsburgh State. They won yesterday. They downed Lubbock Christian 66-55. And then California State Dominguez Hills. Remember, Northern played them out west, way west in Hawaii. They both won there yesterday, so they're down to the final four on the D2 side of things. And two of the four teams Northern played this year, ironically enough, kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, it is cool because tells you what kind of schedule they're playing on a year-in, year-out basis.
Absolutely. Still not good enough to make a regional, though.
Yep.
I know. Also on the D1 side of things, you had UConn defeat SDSU yesterday. On the women's side, Paige Becker's a game-high 34 points. Paige Meyer, 16 points. Not enough there for the Jacks. They wrap up their season 30-4. And the NAIA National Championships, those are tonight for the men and women alike. We'll have more details of that coming up tomorrow. That's it for us in our live portion here right now. We'll have your Wings Weekly after this.
We're going to jump right into the road trip on Monday after returning from Austin. Quick turnaround, playing in a packed house, playing a little shorthanded, which we'll touch on later. But Ryder Mini Gray Horses getting things started with his 14th of the season midway through the first period. Watertown responding with a pair of goals. Tishkovich ended up scoring late in the period to tie the game going into the second. No scoring in that second period. Watertown retakes the lead early in the third, and then Lilson would be able to tie the game, sending it to overtime and eventually a shootout. Pitters and Lilson score for the Wings in the shootout. Watertown only gets one goal to give the Wings a 4-3 shootout win. Cunningham stopping 31 of 34. Braun stopping 2 of 3 in the shootout. A few things not mentioned there, as I just kind of glossed over. But Cunningham came out of the game in the third period, Braun stepping in a tough spot, able to come up with the stops he needed to get the win. And then the players that were not able to play in there for travel reasons and injury reasons, things like that. I mentioned the shorthanded. So what were your thoughts on Monday's game overall with the quick turnaround and able to get the win?
I think really fortunate to get the win. You know, obviously, been on the road for a while and playing a lot of games on the road. So, you know, we fell behind there. Luckily enough, we tied it up really late in the second on that Tishkevich goal. So that was a big boost heading into the locker room. But, you know, the biggest thing, I mean, we just kept going. And, you know, it's not easy in that building. Obviously, they got quite the crowd there. And they're a team that's playing really well, if you look at what they've been doing. But we were able to, you know, they called off a goal and we were able to score one right away, which was really good. There was no hangover on that. And then obviously we took it to a shootout and we were able to win it. And, you know, that those are two big points that we needed.
Yeah. And then briefly mentioned Ryder Mini Gray Horses joined the team later on. Talk about a little bit of his play as of late, putting up some points. And it seems like he's more comfortable in the system since arriving. As of late, anyways.
Yeah, he is, and you know his line's been playing really well. So, you know he's been putting up points timely. You know when we need them, he seems to show up, whether it's a big assist or it's a big goal. So, yeah, that was a good addition to our club, and you know especially needing a veteran like that down the stretch. He's played a lot of junior hockey, and he knows what it takes to get through the grind. And you know those are the type of guys that seem to step up at the end, and he's doing that.
Well, and that leads us into another quick turnaround. Friday, hitting on the bus, heading over to Forest Lake to take on the Mallards. Briggs Orr getting his third of the season, playing his 100th game, so a great goal for him. Gave the Wings the lead in the first. Minnesota responds with two goals early in the second period. So, again, kind of that back and forth. Charlie Birchfield getting his fourth of the year. Cade Moxon was 18th, responding to give the Wings a 3-2 lead after two. Then Jibber Cool and Zamaitis. Cool getting his 11th, Zamaitis getting his 7th. Would score in the third to give the Wings the 5-2 Friday win. Braun stopping 19 of 21 that he saw. What were your thoughts on Friday's win?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not easy playing travel, you know, traveling and playing same day. And I thought our guys were really stepped up for the task. You know, falling behind wasn't good, but, you know, Hershey there stepped in and, you know, he's been our energy guy, you know, since arriving here. And he scored that big goal to kind of get that momentum going. And then obviously Moxon scored on a great play. So, yeah, I mean, anytime you can take points in that situation, it's huge. And, you know, right now it's no secret. We need every point we can possibly get our hands on. So we knew that was a must-win hockey game.
And then, so I guess you can't really call them young guys, but the newer guys to the team, Birchfield or Zamaitis, getting goals there to kind of step in. And we'll talk about a little bit about this after recapping Saturdays too, but talk about their play as far as the newer guys. I know we just touched on it with Mini Gray Horses, but just getting them involved in the system. Obviously you like to see that this time of year, kind of hitting on all cylinders. They're able to kind of step in, maybe fill a void when and scoring's absent as far as the vets go. So now they're able to step up and feel comfortable enough to put up numbers.
Yeah, you know, that acclimation period takes some time, you know, coming from complete different set of standards and structure. And then, you know, coming in here, especially with a guy like Orr, you know, who's played 100 games, you know, he's seen a lot of hockey in a lot of different places. So, but yeah, I mean, they're doing a really good job there. You know, I think they're making the vets better, you know, because they're playing so well. We're surrounding each other with good hockey. But it's nice to see those guys producing at this time of the year. You know, I mean, you know, we went through a tough period of time there where we just couldn't buy a goal. So seeing those guys step up right now and being able to put some goals on the board for us, that's been huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, came up big Saturday with a 7-4 win. Again, back and forth first period. This time Minnesota scored first. Wilson responds with his 12th of the season. Moxham gets his 19th. Backo with his 12th. Big three-goal first period for the Wings to take a 3-2 lead after one. Jibber Cool gets his 12th. Winkler gets his 6th. They would add goals in the second period to give the Wings a 5-3 lead after two. And then Pitters, his 9th, and Wilson, his 13th, would close out the scoring for the Wings. Minnesota adds a late goal to give the Wings a 7-4 Saturday win and weekend road sweep of the Mallards. Braun stopping 12 of 16. Again, we just kind of touched on that, but it almost seems like, okay, the more familiar names, I guess, in Aberdeen anyways, the vets kind of stepping up there to put up some big numbers. What were your thoughts on Saturday's game overall?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. You know, like you see Jibber put up a couple mocks again. Backle steps up. You know, again, you know, it might sound like a broken record, but right now those are the guys that need to step up. Like, those are your leaders. Those are your guys you really you lean on, and they did. And you know, it was big getting a sweep. I mean, especially through the toughness of this schedule. You know, the demand of it. I think it was a really rewarding weekend for our guys, you know, and that's going to create some positivity going into the week of work and practice. So, you know, we know we have to be ready for Watertown. They've found a way to win some games, and they're you know, they took us to the shootout and they swept this weekend. So they're playing really good. Coach Curley's got those guys playing really well over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, Watertown upcoming, home and home against them. Friday, we're going to be here at the Odie. Saturday, we go to Watertown. And then I know you don't like to look ahead, but we do. So after that, we've got versus Minot the April 4th and 5th and versus North Iowa 11th and 12th to close out the regular season. A big home and home weekend against Watertown, a team that, as you just said, looks really good as of late. What are your thoughts on the upcoming games against Shamrocks? You just saw them last Monday. They're playing really well, but what are your thoughts on the upcoming weekend?
Yeah, you have to play really hard against them. You have to capitalize on their goaltending. You know, the Gurich kid that they had brought in, he's playing extremely well for those guys, winning them hockey games. So, you know, you don't want to get into a specialty team type hockey game against them. I think their power play is pretty good. You know, they have some skill guys on there, and you're going to work. They're going to make you work from buzzer to buzzer. So you better be prepared to put in all the minutes it requires to win a hockey game. And I think, you know, us finally coming back home is a big deal. Hopefully, you know, there's some excitement for us to be back in our home building and then, you know, to get on the road right away Saturday and have to tie it all together.
Yeah, quick look at the current standings. Bismarck stays in first place. They're at 84 points. They swept St. Cloud in shootouts over the weekend. So somewhat helping us while also not doing that great at helping us. Minot's in second as far as standings go, 79. They split with Austin over the weekend. Austin also have 79 points. But according to the stats, Minot has the tiebreaker there. The Wings are in fourth right now with 60 points, sweeping Minnesota. St. Cloud with 58. Just 2 points right behind them, earning those 2 points in Bismarck with the shootout losses. Then North Iowa at 44, who was swept at home by Watertown, who we'll see this weekend. Watertown closing in on them with 39, and then the Mallards with 23. So 6 games left, 5 of those at home, all of those big games. I know you take it one game at a time, like we just mentioned. How important is it that we are now in a situation to where at least, at the very least, you're controlling your own destiny? You've got those 2 points. it's not going to be an easy road going forward to the end of the season, but it's basically playoff hockey from here on out. But how big was it to get that game in hand, get caught up, and then surpass St. Cloud to kind of put yourself in the, as long as we take care of ourselves, we don't have to rely on anybody else for help?
Yeah, that game in hand was important. And it was a game that we knew we had to win, and, you know, in order to gain some ground on them. And, you know, you don't want to lose those in hand games. But, you know, it's great that we're going to finish at home. You know, this division, everybody can beat anybody on any given night. So it's going to go back and forth. You know, we just want to play good hockey. We want to get the points we can get. And you know, we want to slide into that playoff spot.
Absolutely. So once again, home and home weekend this coming weekend with Watertown Friday here at the OD. Tickets available, tickets.aberdeenwings.com or any of the Sea Express locations here in Aberdeen. Doors open at 5:30, puck drops at 7:15. We've got our small dog race coming up first intermission. For more information, you can email me, asmith@aberdeenwings.com. Saturday at Watertown, 7 p.m. puck drop. Watch on nhltv.com. Listen on 94.1 The Rock. Scott, thanks again, as always, for taking some time and talking with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with Ryan and one of the players for an interview.
All right, welcome back to the second portion of Wings Weekly. Joining me here this week is a Wings newcomer, Keaton Weiss. Keaton, you are the forward from Rogers, Minnesota, yep. Right? So tell us, how did you first get into hockey? I feel like being from Minnesota, it's kind of the yeah. standard to play hockey. But tell us, what is your individual story here?
Well, my older brother played hockey, so I just kind of went to his games, went to whatever hockey thing he had going on, and just picked up from there. Started skating when I was 3, mm-hmm. started playing actual hockey when I was about 4, and just kept going from there. And when you grow up in Minnesota, it's around you all mm-hmm. the time, so mm-hmm. yeah.
And before coming to play with us, you got to finish out your high school season by playing in the Minnesota State High School Tournament. And doing some of my research, like we do before we have the player on here, this was the first time in a really long time that Rogers had actually made it to the State mm-hmm. High School Tournament. And for some of our South Dakota listeners that might not know, you guys get to play in the Excel Center, where the Wild play. So what was that experience like for you to be able to play there, where the pros play and the crowd and everything yeah, like that for you?
It's an insane moment when you first walk out there and there's, well, the same amount of fans that a Wild game would have, like mm-hmm. 19,000 people for a high school game. And it was really special, especially for Rogers, first time ever in that, for that school. And it was just a moment I'll never forget, and it was super fun.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, there's people that come into our organization who have played hockey for a long time, but, you know, playing for the Wings is the first time they've ever had fans. But you guys get a little bit of a different experience, you know, coming from that state high school tournament yep. because you guys get all the fans, then you come here and it's like, you know.
Yeah.
But you'll get your experience to have all those fans again, I'm yep. sure. But, you know, they say that it's a huge jump to go from high school hockey to junior hockey, you know, and coming in here straight from your high school tournament, what was it like to just jump straight into those practices and those games?
It's awesome. I liked it just because takes your mind off of the high school season. You're just like, all right, now I got something new to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And the guys have been super welcoming. It's been fun experience here so far. And mm-hmm. It's just been fun. Getting to play against Austin the weekend right after my high school season ended, it's something to look forward to, and it was super fun to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, you haven't gotten to experience the Aberdeen crowd
no.
just yet. You will
yep.
just this Friday, and I promise it's you're going to love it.
Yeah,
I promise.
Heard good things about it.
Especially since we're playing Watertown. If I remember right, I'm pretty sure they have a fan bus coming here too. So
really?
Having a town that close now, this is their first season. So having a town that close is going to be awesome for us in the future and everything. But what are your first impressions of Aberdeen and our organization within these first couple weeks of you being here?
Oh, I love it. When I first walked in here on Monday, 2 weeks ago, I saw everything they got here. I'm like, this is awesome. This is a great spot to be. And I've heard great things from people all around about Aberdeen. Like, it's a great program. You're going to love it there. And it hasn't disappointed yet. So,
Do you know any – this is just like a sidebar question, but did you know any you know, past players that have played here? Anything like that?
Yeah, Jordan Ron.
Okay.
I knew Jordan Ron. We – train together, and so
okay, awesome And just stepping away from the game of hockey for a little bit, because we're kind of smack dab in the middle of March Madness here. Yeah. Did you happen to fill out a bracket?
I did. I had two brackets.
Okay. And who did you have?
One of them I have Duke, and the other one I have Michigan State.
Okay. Okay. As a Gonzaga girl, I was pretty upset to see them win in the second round. But everyone calls me a bandwagon fan because, you know, they've made it to at least the Sweet 16, every year besides this year. But I actually have a family member who works for school. And
so not really.
My dad grew up in Spokane and everything like that. So, yep. And I've toured the school and all of that kind of stuff. But this was like the first year in like 9 or 10 seasons that they haven't at least made the Sweet 16. So I was like pretty sad that they were out in the round of 32,
but
it's fine.
Next year.
Hopefully. I saw like this AI edit that said that they were supposed to win it all next year. And I was like, but it's fine. Do you have any Cinderella teams that are going to be,
I mean,
or before the Sweet 16 was set, did you have any Cinderella teams that were? I saw McNeese. The McNeese team is the one that messed me up.
Yeah,
right away.
I think I had McNeese going to Sweet 16 at least, and well, they lost, messed that up. So I think my Cinderella, not really Cinderella, is BYU.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. Like as a Gonzaga girly, BYU. I can't. I can't take them. Who do you billet with?
I'm with the Webbers, rooming with Grant Winkler and Sebastian Wilson.
That's a good house.
Right, yeah, there. I like it.
That's a good house. And you like your living situation?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Awesome. I've known Teresa for a long time, so she's a good human.
Nice.
In the locker room, who have you found to be one of the funniest guys? And if you can't pick out just one guy, you can name your top three. It's nice that we're in here because you can look around at your nameplates.
I think the funniest guy is Gavin Reed right there. He is something else, a character. And then another one, I would say Jack McDonough's funny just because he's the guy everyone picks on.
Yeah.
So it's just funny that way. But
as soon as you said he was funny, I was like, come on. But then your reasoning, I was like,
everyone picks on him.
Yeah. I work with Reader at Mavericks. I actually got him a job at Mavericks too.
Yeah.
And so everyone else gets to see the personality and everything too.
Yep.
So yeah, that makes sense. Okay, you get stuck on an elevator with a few of your teammates. Who are you hoping to get stuck on to help pass the time?
I mean, I think I would have to go the duo of Gavin Reed and Jibber Cool. Oh, just because watching them is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. And who are you getting on that elevator and regretting that you ever stepped on the elevator with once it gets stuck?
That's tough. There's not really a lot of people in here that would regret, but honestly, probably Jack McDonough. Yeah.
Just because some of the things that come out of his mouth, you're like, why?
I'd get sick of them real quick.
Yeah. Okay, it's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. You get 4 tickets. First question is, what are the 2 teams you're hoping to see there? And who are the 4 teammates you're taking with you to see?
The teams would have to be 2 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Minnesota Wild, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would want them playing, like, I think it'd be cool if they played like the New York Rangers over there. The 4 teams.
Who are you hoping to see win? And just remember, you got Coach Langer over there who is a huge Rangers fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to have to really root for Minnesota then.
He's probably out of the building by now.
Not yet. 4 teammates. I don't know. I might have to go my 2 roommates with Sebi and Winks.
Okay.
I might throw in I might go Cooper Anderson. I know him. He's from Elk River.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Backel. I think I'd take Backel with me.
Okay. Awesome. And before, I actually forgot to ask this at the beginning too. You are a forward, but growing up, did you play any other positions?
I played D a little bit when I was about 14, 13, that age, about Bantams. I would switch from forward to D, and it's kind of helped me now knowing the defensive side. So
you brought up Cooper Anderson, and that reminded me to ask that question because when we interviewed him on this show, he said he was a goalie for a while.
Really?
Could you see him being a goalie?
I mean, he's got the personality of a goalie, I could see it.
Yeah, because goalies are a little weird.
Yeah.
But this weekend is also the small dog races. Do you have any pets back home?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have any, like, if you were to have a dog or anything like that, do you have any dream pets, dream dogs, anything like that?
I mean, I would love to have a dog. I've been seeing a lot of videos on English Bulldogs lately.
I had one.
Really?
I did.
I would love to have an English Bulldog.
They're the best dogs ever. And Gonzaga, Bulldog fan.
Yeah.
Just goes hand in hand. Ours lived to be like 13, and she was like literally, she used to skateboard.
Really?
Yeah.
I love those
things. So if you ever are sad and need to pick me up, watch Bulldog skateboarding. Back to kind of the games over the past couple weekends. You came in when the Wings were kind of in a little bit of a tough spot, in a little bit of a playoff push, but you've been able to have quite a few minutes in over the past few games and have been able to even put up a few points. What has that done for you as in building your confidence as an upcoming juniors player?
It does a lot. When you come in here, you're not really expecting a lot. You just kind of do whatever you can to help out the team. And when you get a big point against Watertown in a must-win game, it boosts your confidence a lot. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, it makes you think you deserve to be here and just keep doing. But most importantly, just do whatever it takes to help out the team in any way, even if it's just blocking shots or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And how excited does it make you to be able to come along for next year and really push the team through for a whole season?
I'm excited for it. To know what it's like, null hockey, junior hockey, to get that experience now, it helps for next year for a full season, kind of take in more of a leadership role on this team, and I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm. Some of the positives from this weekend, you know, getting 4 power play goals on the weekend was something that this team kind of struggled with all season long, was the power play for sure. Is that something that we can take into this weekend, playing Watertown?
Yes. I always think special teams is one of the most important aspects of the game, especially when it comes into playoffs. And for our power play to get going this weekend, I think it'll help kind of set up confidence for those guys and into the Watertown weekend and just keep it going.
Mm-hmm. And overall, just for these next few weekends, what are going to be some keys to the games?
I think it's just be hard in the D zone, not give up as many chances as we can, and just kind of stick to the small details and getting pucks in deep and just take advantage of our opportunities.
Awesome. All right. Next home games versus Watertown Shamrocks, Friday, March 28th, is annual small dog race. You can bring your small dog to participate in the race during first intermission. For more information, contact Aaron at asmith@aberdeenwings.com. Corporate game sponsor is Dakota Broadcasting. Doors open at 5:30, puck drops at 7:15. Saturday, March 29th, the guys head to Watertown. 7 p.m. puck drop. You can watch on nhltv.com, listen on 94.1 The Rock, hubcityradio.com, or The Rock app. Tickets available for all Wings home games at tickets.aberdeenwings.com or any C-Express locations in Aberdeen. Sponsorships and reserved season tickets are now available for the 2025-2026 season. Call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. And for all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit aberdeenwings.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Again, Keaton Weiss, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And that'll wrap up this week's Wings Weekly.
And once again, that's your Aberdeen Wings Weekly for this week. The Aberdeen Wings are once again back at home and on the road. It's kind of a home and home situation. I call them home and roads, but nevertheless, 7:15 at the Odie as the Wings will take on the Watertown Shamrocks, and then 7 o'clock on the road on Saturday. Tune in to Cy Evanuk on the play-by-play on 94.1 The Rock. We're back at it tomorrow with a Wolves Midweek on Fox Sports Aberdeen.